This week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proudly sponsored by the Instagram page Heaps Good Runners. Australia's fastest current female marathoner, Sinead Diver, and her team of meme-making experts combine their love of distance running culture and comedy to bring you Australia's and the world's funniest running memes, releasing new content daily. Inside Running Podcast listeners can receive a never-before-seen public-released running meme simply by messaging the Instagram account this code, IRP2020, and they'll reply directly to your inbox with it. Enjoy this week's episode.
Hey guys, welcome to episode number 134 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another week. And if you haven't guessed, I'm not Brady Trailfall, but I can do an impression of him. So I'll do it. Hey guys, welcome to episode 134 of the Inside Running Podcast. How was that?
You sound like Steve Irwin.
That was the aim. I think they sound kind of similar. Anyway, I'm Nick Earl. Voted the best looking sub 215 marathoner on Australian soil. We're doing a swap this week. Us Road to Nowhere crew are taking the main show, and Brady, Brad, and some fat bloke from Ballarat are recording our show on Wednesday. So for you tight bastards who aren't doing Patreon, get over to Patreon if you want to hear those guys. If not, I think they're actually going to put it out for free on Saturday, I think Brady said. So if you're stressing and you haven't heard about their weeks, you can hear that show at the weekend. Right, so please welcome my co-host, the Dennis Rodman of the Melbourne Track Club, Joel Tobin-White. How are you, mate?
I'm good. That's the self-appointed Dennis Rodman of the Melbourne Track Club, that's for sure. I'm good. Going well. Getting back into training. This is sort of the first week where I felt fucking sore and tired, and I'm like, shit, I'm no spring chicken anymore.
After 26, what, 4 weeks
running.
Did you know that Dennis Rodman's nickname was the Worm?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
You knew that. Yeah, I did. Is that appropriate for you, Joel?
I actually don't know why.
I don't know why either. Is it appropriate for you though, Joel? Would you say?
I'm really good at doing the worm, the dance.
It's based on the dance move. All right. I thought it might have been something else. Anyway, we won't get into that. Not again. FYI to the listeners, this is how Joel wanted me to introduce him. If you're one of those fucking sooks out there that froths on moose week in, week out, settle down. You've got a better replacement. Funnier, kinder, better looking, cooler, and faster. I was never going to say that, Joel. Sorry, mate. Anyway, over to my other co-host, my second favourite netball player on the surf coast, Ellie Pashley. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Nick. How are you?
I'm fine. How's Lainey?
She's good. I still haven't told her about you.
Oh, come on. Not even on my team. Right, now that, I think we'll go straight into your week, Ellie, while you're talking. So, Ellie, for those who haven't listened to the Road to Nowhere yet, Ellie goes on for about 40 minutes, so we're going to try and hurry her up this week. So take us away.
All right. So Monday I ran 17 Ks around Anglesey, just easy pace with Lainey, who Nick just referred to as the best netballer on the surf coast.
You disagree though, Ellie?
She's a much better netballer than I am. We've been doing Monday runs together lately, so that was fun. And it was a beautiful day on Monday. It was sunny and warm and no wind. So, yeah, that was a good run. I think I titled it When Mondays Are Fun. Tuesday morning, I met up with Blake and we did a 14K tempo. So we went to, we parked at the Chocolate Factory near Anglesey and ran out and back along Forest Road. I don't know, I like 14K tempos as much as every time I see them on my program, I think, oh, not this. But then they're always quite enjoyable, I think, because they're pretty aerobic. And
what did you describe the tempo as again? Remember we discussed that, like what tempo as? Do you, you with me that it's slower than threshold? I remember Nick saying slower than threshold. Faster than threshold.
Yeah, no, definitely not. We do them slower. It's like it's basically completely aerobic.
So in England, we don't have thresholds. We just call them tempos. Like, or where I'm from in England anyway. That's why there's a bit of confusion coming to Australia, because they've got the threshold runs, which are kind of what we call tempos. So you're feeling pretty comfortable running this, Ellie?
Yeah, I was. I think Jules had written 335s on the program, and we probably went out about 335s and then picked it up a bit when we turned around at 7K. So the average was 3:32s for the whole run.
Yeah, but that's solid. Is this the road with the dodgy GPS bit with the forest?
No, Forest Road's pretty good. It had one section where my watch was dropping out when we were coming back, but it's pretty good. It's kind of straight and fairly open. There's a few trees either side, but it's not too bad.
Did you were you racing, Blake?
Not really.
Not really.
So he gapped me on the way out, and then I caught him on the way back, and then he told me that he was feeling a bit crook. So then I started pushing the pace. But he's beaten me in every session lately. So when he told me he was feeling a bit sick, I was like, oh, this is my chance. I'll drop the hammer.
He's put a picture on Strava of a lion chasing, I don't even know what the animal is, like some kind of gazelle or something.
Oh, wildebeest, I think.
Oh, is that not wildebeest, is it? Nah, it's way too thin. Anyway, this is not good radio.
That's real. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have Strava, so I can't look at the photo.
Yeah, I'm just going to imagine really what that. It is. I don't know which one's which.
Well, was he hunting you down? By the sound of it, you're the lion because you were.
Oh, yeah, I probably chased him down in the second half.
I didn't claim that as well. Because you've gone 14.02Ks and he's gone only 14.01. So,
I had to run further than him because my watch wasn't. It told me I still had, like, I ran an extra 50 meters or something. My watch is stupid. I need to get a new one.
You're on a straight road there. It's kind of surprising that you'd get a 50 meter difference on a pretty straight road.
Yeah. I reckon my watch just cuts out every now and then and the GPS doesn't work for a bit and then it comes back in.
Yeah, I guess it's
just old.
You can't quite. Yeah, it does not obvious on the map, because normally when that happens, you get this like straight line on Strava and it's pretty obvious. But
one stage, Blake was like, we're running way too fast. And my watch said that we were running like 3:40s or something. I don't know. I think it just it doesn't.
What watch have you got?
I've got a Garmin 935, but I've had it for about three years, I reckon. So
to the listeners, don't get a Garmin 935.
Watch. I think it's just water damaged. Yeah.
What I've been doing when my like watch stuffs up is I have like 5 different Garmins and I put them all on my wrists and then I just take the average of them all.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll just run with my phone, which is recorded on Strava.
It's just why you're not on Strava, like... Joel, because you just there'd be 5 exactly. runs.
There's so many
Tobin White, ran with Joel Tobin White, ran with Joel Tobin White. At least it looks like you've got some mates.
All right.
Anyway, carry on, Ellie, carry on.
I think I only did one run on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, just 14Ks from home, so just ran straight out the back of Aries and then back home on my flattish loop.
Go on, Joel.
I was going to say, was that like a 12 p.m. early morning, Ellie?
Ooh, it was 10:39.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm getting up earlier.
That's real early for you and I. That's afternoon.
No, that's I was
early for
me
as well. Trust me, that's an early morning run, that is.
Then Thursday morning I ran with Jared. So we met in Anglesey, 9:07. This was a real early start, this one. So we parked along the river and we just ran out the back. I've got this new loop, which I'm into at the moment. I was into the Freshwater Creek prep area, but I'm done with that now and I'm obsessed with Anglesey again. So we ran out the back to Coal Mine Road and then cut across down to the beach on this track, which is really beautiful.
Is that your favourite nudist beach again, or is that a different one?
No, that's a different one. I did run near there again later in the week, actually.
Of course you did.
The one your dad goes swimming in, right?
Nice family day out at the nudist beach.
I love we've got all these inside jokes that the main listeners are going to be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, they have to stop being tight and sign up for Patreon and listen to us. Exactly.
They'll be so confused.
So Jared's commented, finally a decent planned route by Pashley. So there you go. Your compliment.
I'm always copying flack for I'll plan a route and then the road's closed or there's fences closing everything off or we have to climb over things or
it's someone's backyard.
Private property so they're very critical. None of the others ever plan loops though. They force me every week to decide where we're running and then they just criticize it every single time. So but this one was a good one
because it's usually about 10k over.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was perfect though. Look at that, 14.06.
That's not perfect. Was it meant to be 14?
It was meant to be 14, so pretty
that's
good.
Like half a percent out there, Ellie, come on. You're better than that.
that's pretty good for me, trust me. And then Thursday night I went and ran with, there's a running store in Torquay called the Happy Runner. And so, they used to have a run club on Thursday nights, but they're not really doing it at the moment. But a few of us who go to that met at the store and just did a little loop around town. Because now that we can run with 10 people, they're going to reintroduce it over the next couple of weeks, hopefully. As the restrictions ease, so.
Nice. Are you a bit of a celebrity in those runs?
No, I'm definitely not a celebrity.
No. All right, that's boring. You could have made something up there, Ellie. Quick.
Ellie's got to stop talking. She sounds like she's got chocolate throat.
Yeah, I think I've got food stuck in my throat. Hang on a sec.
Sort it out. Come on. Far out.
You're almost there now. You're up to
Friday. So Friday I went to the track in Geelong to Landy Field and I did 5 by 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute with 60 seconds rest between them all. And I just did it around the track because I sort of wanted to get an idea of sort of the pace I was running without having to look at my watch. So I was just looking at my 400 splits. Blake came with me, but he wanted to do some 1Ks, so he did that. And this session, it just went forever. Like, my watch in the end said I ran 11.2Ks, which isn't quite right because it's always a bit over on the track, but it was a fairly big volume session in the end.
How many laps did you do? Did you count them?
Oh, I didn't count, no. But it was the instructions were 3 minutes at half marathon effort, 2 minutes at 10K effort, 1 minute at 5K effort. So I think I tried to do about 3:20s for the 3 minute, 3:10s for the 2 minutes, and then 3 minutes for the 1 minute efforts. And I pretty much did that. I think I went a little bit faster for the 2 minutes and 1 minutes, but I was really cooked at the end. My watch told me I needed 3 days recovery. I don't know if you guys have got that.
I always get that nonsense. Yeah, every time.
I don't think I've ever had that before.
I have five watches telling me 3 days, so that means I've got to take 15 days.
Good maths there, Joel. That's like the best maths you've done.
I'll sweat trying to do those maths.
That's a good session, Ellie. Is that the moose fartlek or something? Is that what he calls that or something?
I don't know what he calls this one, but I've done it before, but only did 4 reps. And that I thought was quite okay, but this was hard. I got to the third lot and I already felt like I'd done a full session and I still had another 2 lots to go. So, but it was good. It was hard. I think my heart rate was really high. Jules said he looked at the graph on Garmin and he said that I was very anaerobic for a lot of it. But, it was good.
So you say the last two, you felt like you were done after three. Did you actually slow down for the last two, or did you find something from somewhere?
No, because I didn't feel it wasn't hard enough. The paces weren't hard enough that I felt like I had to slow down. It just was long.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I knew that I could keep sustaining those paces. I probably went a little bit harder in the last one just because you always do. When you know you've only got one left, but
oh, you just empty the tank, don't you? The any session, it's like you just empty the tank, and just because you're finishing is great.
Yeah.
Thresholds.
Yeah, thresholds. I
think
I'm trying not to do that anymore.
When I do thresholds, and I look at my, if I'm honest with myself, I'm like, yeah, I definitely sped up at the end there, and I was not thresholding anymore. I was racing.
It's hard to. It's like this thing at the, when you're getting towards the end of a run or the end of a race, like you just feel like
you
want to go.
Same in long runs too. Everyone picks it up.
Hate that on long runs though. When you're stuffed and there's some asshole who's only run like 50Ks that week and he's just sprint finishing, you're like, oh, come on. But then I always get sucked in. Oh, yeah, that's annoying. We're trying to win the Sunday run. Classic. Right, you're up to Saturday now, Ellie. We're whistling through this.
Yeah. Saturday I ran. So I think I had two runs. I'm going to get in trouble for this from Julian. I don't know if he noticed it yet. So I had a 14K and a 6K or something, and I went and met Brett Coleman and a few of his friends in Anglesey, and they were doing 20. And on Saturday afternoon, I had a catch up drinks with some of my friends. So I just combined my two runs and did, in the end, they were going to do 20, but we ended up doing like 22 and a half. So
were you in charge of that loop then?
No, this was a Brett Coleman loop, this one.
Oh, so man, maybe no one could do maths down there. And they're just like, can't work out how to do a normal run.
Yeah, it's just always
a random question, Ellie.
Yeah.
Could you do 14K and then stop your watch and go into the settings and change the time on the watch to like, or does it get the GPS and read the time?
I don't know
what I mean? And then you start the watch again and then you finish it and then it's like, boom, two runs, Julian. Have a look at that.
Well, I wish I had thought about that because, that would be good.
I'm full of deceiving ideas.
You could change the distance as well. Just say you went like, I went, 30Ks in that time. Yeah, I smashed it. Got a world record. Because you can actually go into the files and start messing around with them. So
you'd have to turn the GPS off, I think, because it obviously knows your location, so it does the automatic time.
I wasn't too worried. I thought I'll just write 14K in the description and then you'll think I ran 14Ks unless you look at
you fooled him, Ellie. You got him.
Tricked you. But that was fun, actually. It was like a drizzly, crappy sort of morning, but it was really nice running. There were people out everywhere riding and running, and we did another good loop around Anglesey. And then Sunday long run, this was fun. I'm just loving the group runs again. So we met at Southside, which is this is the nude beach, actually.
Oh, of there. Course you loved it.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Granddad.
I don't have any granddads.
Sorry. Come on, Nick.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I
was just trying to be funny.
That's okay.
Sorry.
It was a long time ago.
I'm 26 and I don't either, so come on, fucking...
Yeah, my point was that her whole family were out. I didn't mean to bring up. Okay, let's just carry on.
So anyway, we met at Southside, the Nude Beach car park, and we just ran out towards Anglesey and then sort of did a loop through the scout camp back along the cliff track, which some people that have done the AV cross country down here will know. We were sort of on some of those tracks for a little bit and then back to Southside, sort of along the beach and the trails near Point Addis. We had a couple of people on the bikes who have some injuries and then, a big group of the usual crew. Dave McNeil came and ran with us as well. He was in Queenscliff for the weekend. It was probably the slowest run he's ever done in his life, but I think he enjoyed it, hopefully.
Is he in shape at the moment, Dave?
I think so. He said he's been running, or Joel probably knows more than me, but he said he's back running.
I haven't seen him.
A fair bit.
Joel's been by himself, you know, or just hanging out with Brett. So yeah, he doesn't.
I avoid Dave like anything. He's not a nice guy at all. Anyone that knows Dave McNeil knows that he's just a real prick.
Yeah, I've seen him around a bit, like around Melbourne. I'm just like, oh, that guy, jeez. Yeah, don't.
Everyone knows, unapproachable, unfriendly, just not someone you want to run with. He's going to laugh because he's literally known as the nicest guy in running.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
So that was just a quick question about the nudist beach car park.
Yeah.
So do people like strip off next to their cars and then just leave all their clothes in the cars, or do they go onto the beach clothed and then strip off?
Yeah, they go down to the beach clothed and then strip off from
not too dangerous to go and use that car park.
Yeah, the car park's all right, I think. But you can tell because like this car pulls up, you know, 58-year-old male gets out by himself with his little beach bag and heads down, and you're like, I know what you're doing.
And says, hey, daughter, how was your run?
And then he says, see you later, dad.
I think my dad is 58, actually, but no, not him.
Anyway,
he's going to listen to this, you know.
Hi, Ellie's dad. Hope you enjoyed the food speech. Okay. Ellie, how big was the week? Yeah.
I did 140.5. So, yeah. So I think I'll just keep it around that now for until we know what's happening with races. But it 140 for me, I feel like is a good amount where I can get fit, but I it's sustainable, and I'm hopefully won't get sick or injured because it's
It's a good milestone for me too.
Because
it's
like him.
Pardon?
Who are you pardoning?
Just talked over the top of me because he's a very prick. I was saying it's a good milestone for me because I'm at 80, almost 90k a week. So it's like the first week I haven't been exactly half of your mileage.
Oh, okay. You're doing well.
I was like, Joel, we're about to get to you, mate. Like, seriously, just wait. But okay.
Wait,
you Ellie, over to you, Joel.
All right, this will be quick. So Monday, 30 minutes at 4:30 pace. That was just the regular, what I have been doing, really easy Monday just to recover from the long run. For most of the listeners that wouldn't know, I'm still coming back from injury, so just getting back into running again. Mondays I take pretty easy to recover from the Sunday long run and prepare for the hard session on Tuesday. So I met Tim O'Shaughnessy's group at the TAN on Tuesday because I thought I was going to get my ass kicked by the MTC boys at where they were going at the track. So I thought, fuck, I'm going to avoid that at all costs. And went to train with James Coleman and Tom Thorpe at the TAN, and got there expecting sort of a, you know, 8x1K, pretty easy standard TAN session. But Tim gave us the deadly lap, which is his group does. It's the first 2.5 sort of, how far is the TAN around? 3.8, is it? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. 3.8.
So, yeah, it's about like 2.8 or whatever. At you start at the bottom of Anderson Street and you run sort of threshold pace until 1K to go, and then you lap your watch and bang, run hard.
That's good though, because the last K is downhill, isn't it?
Not really. It starts downhill.
You start going up Anderson Street, or do you start going?
You start going up Anderson.
Right. So you go that way around.
There's a bit of a climb again, isn't there?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the hard K is downhill. You sort of hit it in the middle of that gradual downhill before the water troughs. And then you go up that slight hill and then down, and then it's up the hill to the finish.
Yeah.
Only slight hill. But yeah, that was really good. I was 3:08 pace. For the 2.8 first 2.8K Just running with Thorby.
Did you beat the boys, or were you just all together?
No, I was running with Thorby. Coleman was a fair way in front. And then I lapped with the K and did it in 2:53. So I was quite...
Oh, shit.
You would have beat the girls' 10 record.
Yeah, only just. And then, so then was a 90-second rest into the 2K bridges and did that in 3-minute pace. So it's about 5:55 because it's a little bit under 2K. And then we had, I think it was a 90-second rest again after the 2K. It was 60-second rest after the 2K, and then straight into the boys had 4 500s with a minute break, but I just did 2 because I'm still getting back. So yeah.
That's a good session.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's a fast session, like compared to what you've done so far on your recovery.
That's the first thing, sort of average 3-minute. Well, the 2:53 hard K, I was not expecting that. I was expecting, I didn't even look at my watch. I just sort of ran hard, nowhere near max or anything. I just went hard and, to run 2:53, I was like, shit, okay.
And then, for the listeners who haven't been listening to Road to Nowhere, Joel's been running again for about 3 weeks and he's already knocking out 2:53s per K.
And then, the two last 2 500s, I just did 7K total instead of the full 4 500s, and I did 2:55 pace and 2:53 pace. So, and they were pretty easy. It was only 500s.
Session.
Nice. But, yeah, it's really happy. So it's good to feel good running again.
Any problems with the, was it SIJ or something?
So that's totally fixed. But the nerve thing that was the precursor to the SIJ injury, it's sort of, I've had this awareness of it the whole time. Because it's just hard at the moment because each week I'm trying to build. So you can't really get on top of things. But it's not getting any worse. It's just sort of, I just have to do lots of spiky ball and nerve stretching and it disappears. And I'm getting regular treatment, so I'm on top of things. It's all going pretty well.
Are you on the spiky ball on the floor yet? Or are you still leaning against the wall?
No, I've never done the leaning on the wall. That was what Steve Dineen told me. He said you should do it up on the wall because what did he say? It's better to do a little a lot than a lot a little, which is what I was doing. I'd go smash myself on the spiky ball and then be scared of it, and I wouldn't go near it for 5 days, and then I'd smash myself again. Whereas he said if you just go up against a wall and do it after every run, and you don't,
That's good. That's good advice, actually. Yeah,
it is.
Don't go mental on your spiky ball.
You just sort
people
of go,
do too. They go create. They'll spend 20 minutes on it the first time because it feels so good, and then
Well, that's what I do, and then I get the fucking imprint, the skin, and it lasts 8 hours, and I'm like, shit, that was way too intense. So then Wednesday morning went out. Stewie McSwain met Brett and I at our house, and we went out for. They do a bit of a longer run on Wednesday, so we head out from my place in Hawthorne on the Yarra River Trail towards Fairfield, Kew Boulevard sort of way. It's pretty easy run. I like it because they sort of keep things fairly cruisy until I leave them, and then that's when they start building up the pace. So it's good because I just leave and get back home. It was 4:19 pace for 13.8K, so it's in the hour. They sort of get home 20, 30 minutes later for the, I think it's, 80 or 90 minute run they do. And I go, what was the average pace? And they're like, 4:02s. And I'm like, fuck, when you left me, it was 4:20s. So you must have been absolutely hooking. So I'm glad I'm not a part of that nonsense.
Well, for those boys, that must just feel like jogging, though, running sub 4s.
Exactly.
Not even trying. No.
Thursday, did the 50 minute run that I've been doing, in my build back just to try and make sure the K's, cause I'm trying to build my long run on Sunday. And I'm still just trying to go, I don't want to go increase my weekly mileage by more than 5K, each week. So yeah, Thursday's run was just around Princess Park, 50 minutes at 4:19K pace again, pretty cruisy. And then Friday, We had the threshold around the lake, and that was the first time that half of the MTC guys, because a lot of them are still interstate, but it was myself, Geordie, Rainer, Stewie, Brett, and a few others, and Bitters was on the bike, getting in the draft of the boys while they were running. Hilarious to see.
Does he normally go on the bike or?
No, because usually we're at Caulfield, so you just stand there. But I guess because around the lake, it's sort of a lot easier to ride. And I did my first 25 minutes because I've been doing 20 minutes the last few weeks, and I was 3:13 pace for the 25 minutes.
Yeah,
great. Bit windier, a bit shitter than the previous week, but
But you had that, you had the last session in your legs.
Exactly.
So if you're Dennis Rodman of the group, who's Michael Jordan, would you say?
I sort of take on both roles. Brett would probably think he's Michael Jordan. Definitely.
I reckon Brett would think he's Michael Jordan, but it's actually Stewie. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
He could be Scottie Pippen. He's the one who doesn't get any money.
What about Jack?
Good enough. I don't know who Jack would be. Fuck. Jack's actually got a bit of Rodman about him. Definitely. No, he does, because Jack's I think it was on that threshold I noticed he had his pinky nail painted.
You're both.
And I was like, geez, that's a real Dennis Rodman thing to do.
That's like the first sign, and then he's going to gradually. You know how when Dennis Rodman started, he wasn't really that quirky, and then he kind of went more and more out there.
So it'll be like the night
before the Olympics. In a few weeks, Jack will have fake nails or something.
the night before the Olympic marathon, and Jack will be on TV, like, wrestling with a Hulk Hogan.
With a 90-year-old Hulk Hogan. Exactly. Back skeletons in the ring.
Yeah, that's good. So that was 3:13 pace for 25 minutes.
Yeah, it was good. Happy with that. And then Saturday was my rest day, which I have been doing because this week I got back into the gym regularly with my gym coach Dylan Vasari out in Mitcham at Studio Kinetics. So it was really good getting back in doing that. He's been sort of in charge of a lot of my rehab and injury prevention stuff, it's going good. And so I did that before my big 10-hour stint at the wine store. And then Sunday.
10 hours.
Yeah.
Blue collar.
I know. I'm a real blue collar kind of guy, Ellie. Come on.
Do they give you any of the wine during the day?
No, I give it to myself. I just want to be salt. I usually go through a bottle every few hours. you can't drink on the job, unfortunately. So it's really tempting because it gets to like 7, 8 p.m. and you're just going, geez, I would love a wine right now. But,
can you just claim that, like, someone broke a bottle or something and you're just like...
Someone broke a bottle, the mop. I couldn't find the mop, so I had to use my...
It's the only thing that
I imagine walking into the store and I'm just on all fours licking up wine on the dirty ground.
That reminds me of being at uni when someone spilled a beer and everyone would yell Hoover, and then the person who spilled it would have to go down and suck it up.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, pretty gross. Joel would love that.
That must have been a British thing, that one.
Oh, for sure. Awful. Yeah,
Aussies don't do anything like that at uni.
No, we're classy.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then Sunday's long run. I saw Steve Dineen on Friday, and he just said he needled me on Friday night, and I pretty much could hardly walk. And so he said, Sunday, just go out easy by yourself on the flat so you don't get sort of carried away and you can start off really slow. And so I drove out to Yarra Flats by myself Sunday morning and just went out for 10.5K out, 10.5K back. So it was 21K at 4:17 pace, And yeah, felt really good. I was 89K for the week. So,
wow.
Yeah, about 5K up on
getting
out there. It'll be a couple of weeks and I'll be hitting a ton.
Yeah, great.
What's your biggest week ever, Joel?
135, yeah. I think. Yeah, so I'm going to get to 100. I'll be at 100 in 2 weeks, and then I'm just going to stay at 100 for probably a month, and then, you know, and then 110 maybe for another month, and then get up. I can get up to 120 fairly quickly, and then I'll just stay at 120. I'm not going to jump up until marathon prep next year.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. I mean, bloody 62 flat off 135 biggest ever week.
120 then.
Oh, shut up. Right. That's enough of you. That's enough of you. Right. onto my
Mick
week
and
now.
I slog away every week, 140, 150 Ks, and you ran 62.
That's just, I'm not going to go on about your PB, Joel, because I go on about that quite a lot. But
I did have fucking 10 years of 10 hours a day of triathlon training. So I think that sort of, makes up for it.
I don't know. Right. Anyway, I'm annoyed now.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So me, I'll whistle through mine because you two took bloody ages as usual. So Monday just did my commute in and then some sunny grass laps. Love it when the sun comes out in Hobart. It's always nice. Go out at lunchtime, knock out some barefoot laps on the grass. This time, got 14 Ks done at 4:33s, and then ran another 7 in the evening, and then ran home. So classic blue collar, you know, you're working all day, but you get your 20 Ks done. So just a classic Monday there, really. My friend Matt was with me. He's back from injury. And then day one, when you're back from an ankle injury, you run 14 Ks and you get yourself injured again. So, pretty classic. So he managed to injure himself again, but,
See you, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I'm back.
Hey, Matt, fine, Matt.
Exactly. My ankle feels great. Let's carry on. I was like, cause I was enjoying his company. So I was like, oh, Matt, your ankle's fine. Come on, just keep going. And he did. And then he's like injured. I was like, oh, I felt a little bit guilty, actually. Yeah, like 3% guilt, I reckon.
That's his fault.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Tuesday, I had another crack at the Max Cherry Loop in Hobart. There's a couple of the boys, Sam Field and Ben Covington, are going to have a crack tomorrow at this loop because Sandy Bay Harry is doing this virtual race on this loop up on the Domain. It's 2.43 Ks, and my previous best was 7 minutes from the week before. And this week I went up there and thought, right, I'm going to get sub seven because I ran 7.008 last of the time before, and I was really annoyed not to get sub seven. So yeah, the club are trying, they're going to make a little plaque of like the top 10, like around this loop. So kind of make it a bit like the tan lap. So that'd be good to get that up there. And I'm currently leading. So this time I managed to run 6:54. And so that was 6 seconds better than the week before, which was my record. And I put this solely down to wearing the 4% instead of the streak LTs. Definitely.
On jet.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, almost probably 1,800 meters is on like this concrete slash half the road is concrete, half of it is like wood chip. So if I'm easy running, you're just on the wood chip, but if you're trying to run fast, you can go on the tarmac. So bark,
like tan bark,
tan, yeah, yeah, tan. What did you say?
We definitely do say tan bark.
Tan bark.
Tell me we say tan bark, Ellie. You're
not I'm confused.
Really? Call it wood chip or bark? You call
it
tan bark.
Tan bark.
I think I just call it gravel.
Gravel's a total different thing, Ellie. What the fuck?
It's not gravel. It's like bits
Gravel's like broken up rocks. Search tan bark.
But it's like dirt. It's made from dirt, really, isn't it, though?
No, it's wood chip. It's like literally like a tree they've put through like some kind of...
Yeah, wood chip and tan exactly the same thing.
I don't know if I've ever seen one of these tracks.
Yeah, that's not really a running. That's what I was thinking.
So type in Max Cherry Loop into Google and you'll see like half of it is tarmac, half of it is wood chip or bark or what else would you call it? Like anyway, this is
so bark. Nick, I did some calculations and the 4% only saved you 0.14%.
Yeah, that's why they call 4% because it's 0.014.
Yeah, the four, Ellie.
Were you
annoyed, Ellie, that I said that Joel had done some good maths earlier, and you were like, "Well, I could show Joel I could do better than him." And sorry, carry on.
So yeah, they didn't save you 4%.
No, hang on though. So it saved me 6 seconds in 7 minutes. That's almost 1%. No, sorry, that's more than
1%. It's 1.4%, sorry.
Yes, that's better, yeah, because I was thinking like, that's over 1%, Ellie. Like, it's not 0.14.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 1.4. Yeah, and I reckon, but to be honest, I actually think that's quite realistic, I reckon, for the 4% on top of the Streak LTs. They're actually looking at that original report with the 4%. 4% was compared to the average running shoe, whereas the Streak LTs was like 3%. Yeah, exactly. Hoka Bondi or whatever it's called was like plus 4%. So I actually think probably improved. But what I was thinking on this loop was because there's a bit of single track, and I was thinking that they'll feel a bit clunky for the single track bit. So I was that's why I wore the Streak LTs, but they actually felt really good. I think if you're in the next percents, you might feel a bit a bit unstable on that single track because they're a bit higher.
Yeah, they're a bit higher, aren't they?
But these are those original 4%, the orange ones. And I just flew down the hill and then, managed to save some for the uphill and they felt great, actually. I do wish they've got this bloody road crossing though on this loop. And it's not like they haven't put like a zebra crossing or a pedestrian crossing where the road goes past have to go over the road when you're on the loop. So I literally, a car was coming. I just held up my hand and just like shut my eyes and just carried on because I was like, I was on for the record. I was just like, this car can bloody stop. So I just like, just held my hand up and they did stop. But I was like,
well, they would have known. They would have seen. Oh, that's Nick Earl. He's going for the record.
So yeah, exactly. Pretty famous around these parts, Joel. That's why they call me the Michael Jordan of Hobart. Yeah. That's because I'm 6'6". And anyway, yeah, that's not true at all. So I was happy with that. Went off at 2:44 for the first K and then 2:49 for the second and then uphill. Average 3:19. What's that?
What day was this again?
Tuesday. We're only up to Tuesday.
Fucking hell. I was like, please tell me this is Friday's time trial.
No. Brady put a 30-minute limit on our weekly recap. We've been going for 50.
not 50. We can
edit Nick's out after anyway.
No, we'll edit Joel's bullshit. Right. So just quickly, Bajendra comment. Wow. ! Marvelous dash. CR, congratulations, champion, Nicole, and then a load of emojis. Still not got that super champ that Josh Harris has got by Bajendra. Oh. But he's called me congratulations, champion, Nicole, because normally it's champ. So I feel champion is an improvement on champ. So I think you're getting
actually, Bajendra, yeah. I noticed, commented on Dave McNeil's run on Sunday, and I think he might have called him a super champ.
Oh, Ellie, don't have that. That is...
Especially not Dave McNeil, not that absolute...
Yeah, he's not a super guy. Champ. He's just an horrible bloke, that guy. Yeah, never nice to chat to, just horrible.
No, he didn't. He just said strong, long run champ.
Yeah, whereas I'm champion now, so I'm going up in the world, Ellie.
I reckon champion's worse. Champion's sort of... He's taking the piss out of you, I think, to be honest.
Nah, it's more effort to write champion, Joel, than champ. Come on, that I-O-N
champ's
is...
Champ's a bit sarcastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Ellie. Ellie's on my side, Joel, so get
stuck. I've never been called either, so... I don't know. Oh, no.
Anyway.
just want to put, I put a photo up and my friend Stefan has said good deltoids. So I don't know where the deltoids are, but apparently I've got
your
good
shoulder.
Ah, the shoulder. Oh, right. Ah, yeah.
Nick's like, ah, oh, fuck.
Oh, he was being sarcastic. Oh, bollocks.
Your deltoid looks pretty good in that photo, the left one.
Oh, stop it, Ellie. Stop it. Come on. You're embarrassing me.
That's why I don't have Strava.
Just the left one.
I don't want to be looking at Nick's deltoids.
Joel, you don't actually have to be a member to look at my deltoids. I'll just inbox you. It's fine. It's fine. Right, anyway. So then I did a bit of a warm down, a jog later, and then the next day was another classic commute plus barefoot laps. And after Croker had a go at me for running with my watch on the outside, saying I'm not actually running 150k weeks at the moment because I'm running with my watch on the outside and cheating via GPS, so I've actually started running the laps the other way. So
Is it still generous?
I don't, it's a lot less generous for sure, but I haven't been around there with a wheel, so I don't actually know exactly how big the lap is.
Couldn't you just swap this with the watch?
Yeah,
it feels weird wearing your watch on the other wrist.
I did it on the Thursday.
When you got five watches.
Just up your arm. And I took a photo because the sun came out and it was there's a bit of a rainbow. And someone asked me what cloud that was, and I said that that's a nimbostratus. So if you want to see a cloud, a nimbostratus cloud, Joel, get onto Strava. So you really are missing out here, mate.
Deltoids and clouds. I think I'm fine.
Oh, come on. One day. Anyway, right, Thursday. Ben Covington and Sam Field, who's over from Florida. Oh, what's it called? Florida State Uni? So he came back for to sit out the coronavirus in Oz instead of the US. So he's back in Hobart doing some sessions. So yeah, Sam, Ben and I did a session on the grass here. And this is where, cause everyone's wearing their watch on, those other boys are wearing their watch on the left. So I swapped so that my watch would be on the inside to make it a bit kind of more. Yeah. It's like, I reckon it's way more accurate, but still probably a bit generous. But we were just doing 6x1500s, and they were putting on their like fast shoes. But I just went, well, we're on the grass. I'm barefoot, so did a barefoot session. Felt fantastic, honestly. Like I absolutely love it. And this was the first like group session I'd done since the coronavirus. So nice to be just doing a session with people. It's been so long, and just like not having to do all the reps for yourself. And we're just like. Taking in turns to do the to lead. So much fun. Just beautiful day as well. The sun. This time at Hobart, we're just most days the sun comes out at lunchtime, and it's lovely. Honestly, like so much nicer than Melbourne. Honestly, Melbourne just cloudy as compared to Hobart. Sunny Hobart, love it.
Yeah, but then it might be sunny, but what the fuck else is there to do? Look at the sun. Yeah.
But what else can you do in Melbourne at the moment? Everything's shut. So it's nice that the sun's out and we can actually go running in the, with the sun. It's beautiful.
So you reckon Hobart's got better weather than Melbourne overall?
Summer is probably better in Melbourne, though it does get stupidly hot there. But in as sunshine hours in the winter, Hobart definitely wins over Melbourne. Definitely gets more.
I was
more
about to start arguing with him. I was like, fuck, what would you know? And then I realized actually he just doesn't.
You
climate scientist.
Yeah,
you
shit.
Work in a
I
wine
can't
store,
win this
mate.
One.
So.
There's nothing worse than those shitty grey days, is there?
Yeah, I prefer rain than that. Like that grey, boring. Actually. It's like there's no
it's
character.
Like nothing weather.
It's like, my friend actually once looked outside, and bear in mind, we're all meteorologists. He went, there is no weather today. There's just no weather. And it's just like, no, what it means. It's just, it's just dull and just shit. Whereas here, because of the mountains, it breaks up the clouds and we just end up being in this rain shadow. And it just has so much more sun than we should down here because of the hills. So anyway, that's enough of that. Come to University of Tasmania and I'll teach you about the weather. Okay, Friday, Joel. We're finally up to Friday. Did my rivulet run with Matt, who is back again. He ran 9K this time, and he got injured.
Is this the Matt that was injured on Monday?
Yeah. He rested up
And he came out with me on Friday, so I took him up a trail.
Oh, no.
it's a nice trail. It's people have coined it the Mulligans of Hobart, but Brad didn't rate it. So, yeah, anyway, I love it.
When you say people, do you mean you?
Yeah. based on one. Yeah. And it's like when I said earlier that I was voted the best looking sub 250 marathon runner earlier, you guys didn't say anything. And I was like, I just left it. I was like, are you going to? Anyway. Anyway, so we won't say
what to say.
I'm sure Vajendra thinks that too.
I don't know. I guess Dave McNeil hasn't run sub 215, has he? So, yeah, because. He'd probably prefer
Dave. He has on one of his long runs once.
Imagine that.
At 30.
Anyway, I'll carry on. This is you guys just make this go on so long, honestly.
sure we do, Nick.
Right. So Saturday, I was there was no virtual race for me to do, so I was like, well, I haven't done a 15K for a while, so I decided to do a 15K tempo, and which is a threshold. In Australian, and so just thinking I'll run about 3:10s and see how I feel. So went out off at actually 3:08, so ran 15:40 for the first 5k, and then 15:43 for the second 5k, and then 15:43 for the third 5k. So that's
nice.
47:06 for that 15k's, and I was going out and back on straight roads, so there was no cheating going on. I saved the cheating for the virtual races. So because this was a training session for myself, like I was like, right, I actually want to see where I'm at. So yeah, 3:08, which is kind of would be like, if I could run that for a marathon, that would be like 2:12:30 odd like pace. So I like to think that would be my marathon pace. I'm running solo for 15K. Compared without tapering at all, you know, you just think like, you know, obviously you don't know how race day would go, but I'd like to think I could run somewhere around that mark. Like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Big claim. Mm. But that's really a good contribution.
I'm just laughing at how fucking delusional is this now?
come on.
And then I reckon what you run a tempo in is often similar to marathon pace, but then your version of tempo is different to mine. Different so I don't know.
Correct English there, actually. So
I love it.
That's my mum. That's what my mum says when I say different to, different from. So it's just etched in my mind.
She's come to defend you. You've just struck her down. That's the last time she's...
Actually, I wasn't really. I was cutting him down that.
True. Yeah, she was, Joel. She was.
I wanted to give him a
running harder
sense.
Than marathon pace.
Yeah.
But, so that was fair enough that he attacked my
that
grandma.
Is a claim. That is a claim saying that's marathon pace. And I don't... Okay, I'm not claiming I'm there yet, but I think in the future, hopefully, I could run something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and because I'm a sitter anyway, so like this was completely solo, and I've always run so much better with people. Yeah. So
like, imagine you've got Moose just right in front of you. I'm sure anything's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melbourne Marathon 2020.
Oh.
Sitting on Julian 3:08.
The sumo wrestler of the running scene. anyway, Bajendra said impressive tempo pace and distance. Nailing it handsomely, champion Nick Earl, and then emojis. So champion again, Joel. So I think I've gone up in the world. And then Sunday, bloody Andy Allison here. Good friend.
We're only on Sunday.
We're only on Sunday, but he was like, right, let's get all the boys together for a Sunday run. I was like, superb. And there was about 10 of the guys wanted to meet up, and he was like, you're right, 8 a.m. I was like, oh, you sod. And I was trying to get him to, I said, what about 8:30? And he put, nah, in our group chat. And I was getting in Sam Fields' ear saying, come on, let's just go at midday. But then I was like, oh, it's our first opportunity for a big Sunday run. So I got up at 7:20, the alarm went off, and I was like, oh, this sucks. And then, but meeting the boys, Andy picked me up as well, so it was pretty nice of him. And yeah, and it was great.
I saw that on Instagram, that video of you. Yeah. Half asleep running to the car.
Oh, it's just horrible. But then it was a great run, and I just ran 20Ks and then went another 10 later, actually, with Matt, who's, he's kind of almost uninjured now, so did another 10 with him later on, so it was a 30K day. But I was originally planning on doing the 30 all on that in the morning, but I just so bloody knackered, and everyone else stops, you know, at 20. I was like, nah, I'm done, actually. And then Andy gave me a lift home because I was planning on running home and then finishing off the 30. But I just feel so shit at that time of day, like running. I just feel like the flow isn't there, and it's just, you know, I just hate waking up early to run. I think for a race you can do it, but for an easy run, oh, I am not on board with that. But it was great fun with the big group. So, yeah, I have to weigh that up.
You just got, like, I find for those things, if I just set my alarm even earlier so I have
more
time to wake up, eat brekkie.
I find the best, you just don't go to bed.
You just go straight in. You're just DJing all night, aren't you, Joel? But then I did a poll.
I was going to say Joel's out at the disco, and then I was like, oh no, that makes me sound so old.
Disco. Oh, you're going to the discotheque?
Big disco ball.
Like the 1970s.
You got your flares on. Ali's got a big.
Oh, I can't really take the piss. I'm older than Ali, so yeah, dear me. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that disco, Joel. I did this poll on Instagram about what you do for a Sunday run, and do you get it done early and kind of get it done, or do you actually enjoy it and make a day of it? And got like eventually 25% said they prefer making a day of it, and 75% of people want to get it done early. Don't people enjoy running? I mean, I really like making a whole day of it, going somewhere really cool and just, you know, stopping off on the way, having a coffee, and then going for the run, and then, I don't know, just making a day of it.
I think it changes if you have a lot of runners, obviously, have kids. And I think with the moment you have kids, like, you have to get back and...
I think that is, but...
I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have kids, so...
I noticed you put get it done early, Joel, on the...
Can I say, I was going to message you and say that was a complete accident. I was trying to... A boomer thing to do. I was like touching the screen, and you can't, once you click a vote, it's locked in. I was like, fuck no, I don't want to. Oh no, it's too late.
To be honest, I was quite surprised you're engaged. I was like, oh, all right, Joel's getting involved. I was like, that's not bad. He's often trying to be cool. So
I was trying to report the post, and I accidentally clicked on.
Report a spam.
Yeah.
Anyway, I voted too, didn't I? Get it done early.
Yeah, I noticed that one. I was like, oh, you people. But and then I was like, Ellie's lying. She likes getting up at midday, and you know, there's
not long runs.
Hanging out at the nudist beach.
I hate afternoon long runs. They are the pits. If I put it off to do it later, I just hate every second of it. I'd much rather run in the morning with people.
I know with people, but I'm just like, why can't everyone make a day of it? I don't know. Anyway, enough of this crap.
We need to thank... nothing else to do.
Remember, this is, we're doing the main podcast here, guys, not our normal crap. So we need to thank some patrons.
Oh, yes.
So that's up to you. Over to you, Ellie.
All right. So I'm going to thank Peter Keneally. So I actually coach Pete. He lives in Sydney, and it was his birthday last week, and his wife, Mel, bought him a Patreon membership as a present, which is very nice of her. She also hooked him up with some – Brady spelt sweet wrong.
He's put sweat. Some sweat inside running podcast.
I think he spelled it wrong because he forgot to put the Y. It's actually some sweaty IR.
Oh,
yeah.
A-class. And he's written that Pete is relatively new to running. I think he's been doing marathons for a couple of years now, though, and he's working his way through the World Marathon Majors. So he's done London, New York, Berlin. He was training for Tokyo when COVID happened, so that was cancelled, and he's booked in for Chicago in October if that happens, or maybe for October next year. But yeah, he's doing really well, Pete. After Tokyo got cancelled, he had a little break, and then the week of Orange Marathon, he decided to just do it as a hit out, which I was a little bit nervous about. But he ran 3:11 and, yeah, loved it. So he's going really well.
That's great. So you're saying your coaching is working?
Yeah, basically I'm a good coach. And
selling ourselves.
Pete's actually really good. He does everything perfectly and, yeah.
He's so, listeners, if you do as you're told, Ellie will get you quick.
He's got a son too who he races all the time, so they've got a good little rivalry going, which is
fantastic. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Right, I'm doing Daniel Hart. Is that Hutchie?
Well, this is Hutchie, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Daniel Hart, because I was like, who the hell is this guy? Because he's, so yeah, so it seems to be a theme. He's, according to Brady, he's Geelong running royalty. His wife Michelle signed him up for a birthday present for Patreon so he could listen to Road to Nowhere. So happy birthday to Hutchie. And PBs of 2:23 at Lake Biwa. I guess that wasn't 2019 because I don't remember him being there.
No, that was this year.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
So it went ahead just before they cancelled all the races.
Yeah, that's where Liam ran unbelievably well. So, and he's done 30:47 at Steigen 2019. I had a good one that year. Joel wasn't there that year, so managed to pip second. And then, that's heartbreaking. 15 minutes flat, 0.3 for 5K. So, Hutchie, if you want a pacemaker, sub 15.
He'll do a sub 15.
Once we're back, though, I'll happily pace him for a sub 15 because that's heartbreaking. 0.3. God, dear me. Yeah. Have you guys ever missed? Just quickly, have you guys ever missed a barrier like that?
62. No, I seem to always run up, like
sub 62 would have been nice.
Oh, come
did
on!
Did you really run 62:03?
It was, yeah, only three. That's 3 seconds though.
Oh, that's still. It's even worse in the longer distances where you never say the seconds and you just say the minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's like a 62 is the same as a 62:55, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you're just a 62-minute guy no matter what the seconds were.
Yeah, exactly. When I ran my debut marathon at Melbourne 2018, I ran 2:18:56. And I just remember thinking if I went 5 seconds slower, I'd be so pissed off. But yeah, because I snuck in that 2:18, I was a 2:18 marathoner instead of a 2:19. It just sounds so much better. I've missed.
I was gonna say I think I'm comfortable that it was 62:03 because if I ran 61:59, I'd feel really embarrassed being called a 61 guy. That's sort of what
Shut up, Joel.
You would claim.
I think
it.
You would. I don't know if you would.
Oh, come on.
I've been at a party.
Around whether you'd claim it or not. If it was people that didn't know running, you'd be like 61. If your friends were there who knew, you'd be like, 62.
I've managed before where I've been talking to a random at a party before, and they asked me, like, I hear you do a bit of running. And they were like, what's your half marathon PB? And I just did not want to say 64 minutes because this person was not a runner. And I was just like, it's kind of, you then have to open this whole conversation about, you know, how often you run and stuff. So I actually then just went, like 80 minutes. And,
really?
And they just went like, that's unbelievable. And I was like, God. So I ended up having to talk
this
about.
This is a made up story, I reckon. I can definitely tell. Straight off the bat.
I honestly just did not want to enter into this conversation. But like, anyway, fine. Believe what you want.
Hi, I'm Nick. 64 minutes. Hey, guys.
All right, Dennis. Come
People
on,
that don't up. Know running don't even know like 60 whatever minutes. You have to say an hour and an hour and 4 minutes. Or...
Fine. All right. It's a true story, but let's move on. So, yeah, Joel, who are you thanking?
I have to thank Paul Reedy from Limerick in Ireland. PBs on Strava as a 5:08 mile, 11:07 2 miles, 17:03 5 kilometres. When he came 83rd in the Rathfarnham 5K, and he's got a 36:56 10 kilometre. Paul runs for the Crusaders Athletics Club and is an analytics analyst at Accenture in Dublin. How's that for a tongue twister?
Analytics analyst.
Pretty well there. Brady normally stumps it up.
Yeah, I only read it 700 times before. He's an analytics analyst at Accenture in Dublin.
Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Daniel.
Sounds like Peter. Chandler's job on Friends.
He's a trans monster.
Joel doesn't know Friends.
No, he's too young. Oh, God.
How I know. It's that sitcom from the 60s.
Right, move on. Running news. Right, that's over to you, Ellie.
Okay, so Strava have moved some of their basic functions to paid subscribers only, and some people have freaked out. So Strava, which most listeners will know as the fitness tracking app popular among runners, has dropped some pretty big news on May 18th. The free version of its app will no longer include several popular features like route building and full segment leaderboards. The company cites these features as especially complex and expensive to maintain, and will now make them available only to subscribing members. Strava has streamlined its subscription service, which will no longer consist of different subscription packs or the Summit brand. Now there's just a single subscription package that includes everything they have to offer. You either subscribe or you don't. A Strava subscription costs $5 a month for an annual subscription, and new users can get the first 2 months free when they sign up for the whole year. With over 55 million users, Strava is undoubtedly the leading running training app. However, with so many of those users making use of its product for free, Strava's profitability hasn't exactly been in sync with its popularity. It is yet to make a profit.
I mean, Joel, obviously, you're not allowed to comment on this because
don't use Strava.
To me, I don't use it. I use it a lot to see how my friends are getting on, etc. But I never actually, I never kind of use those features. I mean, yeah, I look at some leaderboards for some segments, but you know, they're still showing the top 10 for segments. So I'm like, you know, that's pretty much. I mean, I don't really care about segments either. It's just kind of, I guess, kind of interesting to see if I recognize any names. If I run somewhere, you kind of have a look to see if anyone I know has run on those segments. So that's pretty much as far as it goes. So to be honest, I'm not going to notice the difference.
When I was reading about it, I sort of thought the same thing, that I don't really care at all about those features anyway. But then I actually felt a bit guilty reading that they don't make any profit, because it is such a good app and I use it every day, and that actually made me more feel like I should.
But did you?
I haven't yet.
She's like, oh, you know, I'm such a good human being. Should. I feel really bad for these guys. And it's just like, oh, no, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, but I actually think they should just make, if they made it, if they made people pay, like say they've got 55 million users now, they'd lose some, but most people would probably pay.
I think now that, I guess that's the point. They've reached that critical mass where they have the sort of monopoly on it. There's any other running apps just aren't going to be as, you know, it's going to take them ages to catch up. So I just don't think they will. So I think that I'm completely within their rights to charge. And I think it's, you know, like everyone loves it. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
And the fact is, if they start saying, oh, can you pay $5 a month? Yeah, of course. But like, until they're going to bring out something, a feature which I use, if they, I don't know, if you then couldn't see like people's maps or something, I don't know, like, or people's pace during their runs or something, I don't know, then I might start thinking about buying. But at the moment, it's,
it's something you use every single day, like, think for the price of a coffee for the entire month.
Yeah.
Well, a milk coffee, $5, I suppose.
I don't think anyone's complaining.
$1.50 in Hobart. No one's complaining. No, $1.50
in Hobart. I don't wish. No, they bloody, because they have to row the coffee over from Melbourne. So, it costs a lot more here, Joel. Jeez. Right. I don't. Also, Ellie and I don't really care. I think we're all happy with this, actually. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be annoyed, but then if they actually think about it, I think $5 a month, come on, I think that's fine.
And I guess one nice thing about it is there's not heaps of ads and things. So, you know, apps like Instagram, they make their money off advertising, where Strava haven't. They're obviously trying not to be annoying, essentially. Like, they're not making us pay. They're only making you pay for some features that no one really cares about anyway. And they're not filling the app with ads. And so,
yeah, it could,
again, it makes me even more want to subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, you're now making me feel bad, Ellie. And I'm like 1% on the way to subscribing. So I was talking to Brad, and he said, Brad said a listener pays for his membership. So I was like, if any listeners out there want to pay for mine and Ellie's Strava
membership. Pays for his Strava membership?
Yeah.
Apparently. Really? Yeah. Why?
I don't know. Brady might want to cut that. I don't know if we were meant to. Anyway.
The other question that he had here were, are runners tired asses? Yes.
Yes. 100%.
Correct.
What, I mean, that's why runners are basically cyclists who don't want to buy a bike. So, is that right, Joel?
The sort of money spending I saw in triathlon compared to running, it's just fucking worlds apart.
If Strava was a cycling only app, the subscription would be like $3,000 a year and everyone would buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I actually, having said that, I actually think that cyclists are shit runners. So just to make that clear.
Oh, no.
All right.
Right. Is there anyone I haven't offended? Right.
Dave McKeon,
anyway,
go.
On to the next bit of news. Gold Coast Marathon has been cancelled and Sunshine Coast Marathon cancelled. And the thing is, they buried in this was the Australian Marathon Championships are not cancelled, rather than they're working on a plan to hold 2020 Marathon Championships elsewhere, maybe an elite race. And then we've had a listener question about this, saying what's the best way to run it, what location, etc. Also worth commenting that how shit the presentation of this news was. Like, so it's buried. I didn't even see it, if I'm honest. So it buried an awesome bit of news in the cancelling of the Sunny Coast and Gold Coast marathons. So they just buried the fact that they're thinking about having like an Australian Marathon Championships elsewhere, just in that announcement. So, and to be honest, like, I'm a keen marathon runner, obviously, and didn't see it. So, did you see that, Ellie?
Yeah, I did see it. I saw it on, I think Athletics Australia put it on Facebook or Instagram. And I just happened to read the whole post and saw that sentence at the end about that, which I thought was really interesting. And actually potentially a really good opportunity, because I don't know if you guys remember, but last year the Australian Marathon Champs was in Sydney and the Olympic selection criteria came out after Sydney Marathon, and in that it said if you win the Australian Champs and you have the qualifying time, you get automatic nomination.
Wow.
And nobody knew that Sydney Marathon was had that.
That's crazy, because no one does those. I remember when they had Sydney Marathon. So is that every year or the last few years that's been Australian Champs? Because
I think the last few years, it changes hands every few years and an event will get it for 2 or 3 years in a row.
So I remember someone, the bloke winning the Australian Marathon Champs ran like 2:30 something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, I know, I remember thinking, oh, I reckon I could have beaten that, even though I'd never run a marathon before. I mean, good on the bloke. I can't remember what his name was, but, you know, you've got to be in it to win it. But,
and
you
even,
know, it's just,
even for Sydney Marathon, like if everybody knew that there was an Olympic spot potentially up for grabs, they would get such a strong Australian field there, and they sort of missed out on that opportunity just because
maybe they didn't know. Maybe it's something that AA came up with like afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was but potentially with the Olympics being postponed and whether or not they'll do this, but it I mean they could nearly say, hey, this is the opportunity that you've got here. If you get the qualifying time and you're the winner, then you'll get automatic nomination.
That would be such a cool race. So
yeah,
having on closed, like it said predictions to discuss, like how good would it be to be on like a lapped course, or would you prefer a non-lapped course? Because was it rumors of London being on a 3k lap, so you do 14 laps of a 3-lap course. Would you like that? Or would you think that's shit?
Yeah. I think if you're running in a pack, it doesn't really matter. And if you're running somewhere nice, then it, yeah, that wouldn't bother me at all. If it, I mean, the weird thing will be whether or not there can be crowds, but a lapped course is, especially in Australia where nobody comes to watch a marathon, but it might mean that you could actually get a crowd.
Yeah.
Depending on like coronavirus restrictions, obviously, but that could be pretty cool. And if they made it fast too, they could pick any loop they wanted and make it, even give people the opportunity to run the time there as well, which would be.
The limit must be like a 3K. Like imagine, look, I haven't done a marathon, so you guys will be able to answer this, but like surely imagine doing 42 laps. Like that's got to do your head in.
On a 1K. They won't do a 1K course. That's ridiculous.
On a 1K tan bark course.
Yeah.
Oh, stop making things up.
That is.
The thing is, yeah, there'll be too many lapping people.
Yeah.
It's essentially like doing a 42 laps race on a 25 lap 10K on the track. You end up confused. Yeah, you don't know who's winning.
Should be a lap knockout thing. The moment you get lapped, see ya.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, but then people sprint off. That would be a stupid idea, Joel. Just be quiet. So basically, they're talking about the qualifying for the Olympics being back on the 1st of December. So I was thinking, but you're not going to want to run a marathon on the 1st of December or, you know, in December in anywhere in Australia other than Tasmania. So
So you should put in a...
I think my grass lap.
To hold it.
500-meter grass laps, barefoot marathon.
Get Rich Welsh to put together a little flat, fast 5K loop somewhere.
Oh, that's so where I do my tempos, like out by the airport here, is super flat, and it's got a forest. So you're running essentially like you just even on a windy day, you don't feel it. So
we don't want U-turns though. Does it have U-turns?
Yeah, well, it's out and back. You kind of have to have a U-turn, Ellie. But the thing is, if you use the whole road, it's not too bad. But all right, fine. Forget it with the U-turn. Ellie's not interested. So Ellie's going to come up with somewhere without U-turns.
Yeah, a nice rectangle or something would be good.
So, yeah, question here. Do the big dogs run it?
Well, if...
Who the fuck are the big dogs?
If there was an Olympic spot up for grabs, yes.
Exactly.
I don't know, I guess if there's no Olympic spot up for grabs, then there probably has to be money or the potential to run a fast time. Because if it's not a fast course, there's no cash, no Olympic spot, no one cares.
So if Melbourne's not on, then this will be huge. If it's on in December, it's the first marathon that people are having a crack at. You just think how big that would be. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Well, Cadbury Marathon is on in January in Tasmania. So, Athletics Australia maybe have a look at that one.
Can I just say, are you paid by the Tasmanian government to keep?
No, I just can't be bothered to travel, John.
Tourism Tasmania.
I know. It's getting 50 bucks a month. Pocket money from Tasmanian government to just plug it online.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Joel, would you do it?
Nah.
No. Okay, moving on.
No, I don't. I just don't think I'm ready for a marathon this year. It's just going to be rinse and repeat injury, I think, if I have to rush. I'm going to be locked in for London next year, so that's sort of all I'm going to worry about, really.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that is fair enough.
What a smart, boring answer. Moving on.
That's just too sensible. I want to hear, like, so Ellie, are you locked in if it's in December in Tasmania?
Yeah, I would do it for sure.
Sweet. Yep. See you. I'll see you. Really cool, you can stay at my house.
Okay.
Not in a creepy way. We've got loads of rooms. Come on. Bloody hell.
That was impossible for it to not be in a creepy way.
No, really. I get Brady to cut that out. That sounded really And Ellie, there's a nudist beach around here as well. Can you bring your dad?
Oh, this is...
Too far. Right, moving on. Joel Ingebrigtsen's
news. Yeah, Jacob Ingebrigtsen breaks the Norwegian fight. Jacob, I'm not. His name's Jacob here. Aussie. Jacob Ingebrigtsen.
Jacob, mate.
On a record in Stavanger. Stavanger? I don't know. How the fuck am I supposed to know how to say that?
Norwegian.
Yeah. The multiple European champion clocks 13:29, just ahead of brother Henrik. Was it Henrik? Nick?
Henrik. It's fine.
As road race action returns, Jacob Ingebrigtsen stormed to a Norwegian 5-kilometre record in Stavanger on Wednesday evening. Yeah, clocking 13:29. So, yeah, saw this. It was in the, what do you call those estates? The
industrial estate?
Estate, yeah. So it was a sort of interesting course that these guys did. 13:29, pretty quick. But, you know, with a 13:02, 5-kilometre track PB, I probably would have expected him to go faster. But yeah. I don't really know. Would you have said so, Ali? Yeah, I sort of thought.
Yeah, I guess, well, I don't know. It was big news, and I was sort of thinking, well, it's not really. Like, says me who cannot run a good 5K, but it didn't sound that amazing.
Yeah, I was given this news by Brady to say, and I think if it was left up to me, it wouldn't be news that I'd be reading out. But I guess
right, fans, okay.
Joel probably could have run that time off like 50Ks a
definitely
week.
Definitely could not have run the
13:29. It was right. Okay, so you guys off air were just being super negative about this, and I was just like, look, there's nothing going on at the moment. These boys have actually put themselves on the line, and essentially, this isn't much more than a training session. They're sort of in kind of a sort of like a build phase, I guess, and like they've just they've done something fun. You know, they've actually gone out and instead of just like, you know, just kind of hiding somewhere and taking EPO up a mountain, you know, for the next few months, they're actually getting out there and doing something. And because there's nothing else happening, I think this is fantastic, and I would love to see like Joel Tobin White and Jack Rayner and Brett Robinson come out and do something like this. Because it's
That would be more interesting if it was in Australia and they were going.
Yeah, that's sort of what I think Ali's saying. It's like I guess this podcast does go out internationally, so they do have to do world news. But I guess, yeah, I'd probably prefer to see like Brett and Rayner and Stewie attempt the TAN record.
But the point is, like, yeah, then but the thing is, these boys are doing it. So it's all very well saying, oh, it'll be good if, but these boys are actually putting themselves on the line. And
you've got to understand, Nick, Aussies have tall poppy syndrome. So, of course, 13:29, I'm going to just chop that right up. And when you look at it, what I was trying to say before, it was the previous record was 13:37 by Sondre Moen. So when you think about it, he's a pretty bloody quick runner, and the previous record was 13:37. So
was
I guess
5 marathon runner someday.
Yeah. And when it's 30:37 on the road, I think there is a much bigger difference than like I can't talk. I haven't done a road 5K, I don't think, so I probably wouldn't break 14.
But there was a bit of hype in some of my British friends about this, actually. Everyone was getting pretty excited about it and streaming it live and stuff. And because that Ingebrigtsen show, I doubt you've seen it, like on YouTube.
I've heard lots about it. No.
It's kind of like the Kardashians, but for this running family. And they follow these the three brothers around and basically to show their training sessions. And they have a bit of kind of relationship stuff and kind of all that crap, but like that's what the sort of general public like. But they also show like behind the scenes at Diamond Leagues and stuff, and you see Stewie pop up a few times, and Brett or whoever of the Aussie guys are doing those races, and it's just really cool, like seeing what goes on in the background. And I just think that if athletics had more of this, like these documentary style kind of it's telling a story about these runners, and that people know about these runners and they're interested. This Jakob kid is an absolute talent. He's 19 and he's run 13:02. That's just absolutely outrageous. Yeah,
insane. But when you can be entertained by something like The Last Dance, then what's the point?
But the thing is, this is what we need. We need more of this. And the thing is, the footage was a bit crap because they didn't have a clock.
That's sort of what sort of just like the whole location. I just thought it looked like a scene off Train Spotting. You know, running through
so
the projects.
So depressing, yeah.
And they were sort of running on the footpath, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, they could have done so much. They could have made that so much cooler. They could have done
the crowd
on a,
was, abysmal, but I guess that's the rule.
I think that's the rule, And I guess maybe they didn't advertise it so that the location so that you wouldn't get a shit ton of people show up.
Yeah. But, maybe they might have needed Tempo Journal there to.
No, exactly. They make cooler. Running look cool. So I'm all for this kind of stuff. And Joel, I think you should get the boys out to do some kind of time trial somewhere cool and like have a clock for God's sake.
To be honest, I think the tan split. The boys' tan record might be going. Attempt might be coming up soon.
Cool.
I don't know exactly when, but I have heard they've been speaking about it. Obviously, the boys cancelled their attempt earlier just with fear of the COVID stuff. So yeah, and when things kind of clear back up, I'd say they're going to go for it.
What's the men's record?
It's Mottram, isn't it?
It's definitely Mottram, yeah. But I'd
10:38.
I'm not even gonna try, I guess. I have no idea.
Oh, was it 10:09 or something mental?
Yeah, that's it. That sounds, I think, 10:09. It was 10:00 something.
Was it? Yeah. What's your record around there, Joel? Do you have a record around there?
Nah, I got no idea. I wouldn't have done it since
10:08.
10:08. I think I've run 11, like 0:02 or something. Like, that's just mental, the fact that he's taken a minute off. So Stewie would be the only one who could possibly do that. And to be honest, that'd be tough. Yeah, but
it would be tough. I reckon, honestly, the way Stewie's been training, if you had a few weeks of sort of training at the tan, because I think if you can sort of do some recon and work out exactly, and he's going to have, he'd have Brett and Rayner with him going to certain, I don't know if they'd do the whole thing or they'd pace him or something. I reckon he's got a chance for sure.
Well, I mean, sub 11 is a good time around there. So sub 11 is a good time to run 10:08.
I know, it's crazy.
I'd love to see it. And if Tempo Journal can live stream it, get some coverage. That's what we want. I think you even make us get some like general public punters tuning in because there's just no sport on. Like, imagine that. I think they should have a crack. Anyway, let's move on. Listener question.
Yeah, we are fucking dragging on. All the listeners are just be like, get these pricks off and bring the old guys back who don't rabbit on for as long.
All right, shut up, Joel. Go on, Ellie.
Okay, so another hypothetical for you fellas.
Sexist. All right. Sexist. Come on.
Given the restrictions from COVID-19, if things never went back to normal and international and domestic travel was limited to one of each per year, which races would you choose to tick off? E.g., you can only choose one overseas race and one interstate race per year in 2021. What do you choose? And it doesn't include Olympics or Commonwealth Games. Go, Joel.
So my one overseas race would definitely be London Marathon.
Why is that?
Would be my first and last chance at knocking off one of the qualified boys in the marathon, which is extremely unlikely, but I just want to give it a shot regardless. The London would be the one overseas race. And the one interstate race that I'd probably do would be Gold Coast Half, because I've been on the start list of Gold Coast Half the last 2 years, and I've had a big injury come up like 1 week before. Third time lucky.
It is a great race, Gold Coast Half.
Gold Coast Half is other than the 6 a.m. gun time, which is an absolute killer. But once you get going, it's absolutely phenomenal. That race is the sun rises out of the ocean, and it's just fast during the race, it's so quick.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So good
that field race. Every year. It's just, yeah, it's a great weekend as well, especially I think coming from Tassie and Victoria, the weather's crap. Yeah. It's just so nice to go up there for a weekend and
25 degrees and sunny. Yeah, lovely.
You forget, you're like, shit, Australia doesn't have it's not like the whole of Australia is going through the painful winter that Melbourne is.
Yeah, you always think, oh, why don't we live in Queensland? But even the other, like the, yeah, that's true. I think the other events there are good as well, but the marathon's just not quite as fast because it gets hot later as the day goes on. And I've actually never done one of the ones the day before. I think they're relatively quick as well.
I think the 10K goes off early, and the 10K is pretty quick. I think Buchanan ran like 29
low there, and that was a couple of years ago when he was nowhere near as quick as he is now, and that was a big PB for him by memory, okay. I think. And so yeah, that's fast, that 10K. So I think the marathon, because it starts at 22:08, so people are, even the best runners are running still at 10 a.m. you know, and it's pretty hot even in winter there if the sun comes out. So yeah, it's a pretty stupid time to run. And I think I've talked to Mona a few times about this, and apparently he's been convinced that it's the right way to go about that race, but I'm just like, that's dumb. Why don't you just have them run for half and then carry on for another half? Like,
I think there was some, I think there was a reason why there's like a logistical thing why they, or why they can't start the marathon first and then run the half at that time, the way the course is set out, or
it's not rocket science, seriously. Even if you need to start it at 5, like, that'll be better than running it at 7:40. I heard it was something to do with Japanese TV, because quite a few Japanese guys come down, and they like Yuki Kawaucha often comes down for it. So I think it's something to do with Japanese TV and having it live. Yeah, right. But I mean, if that's true,
they probably pay the big bucks.
Well, that's, yeah. But
the TV deals are like multi-million dollar.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in Australia?
Like a national sport. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Channel 7, do you want to broadcast Melbourne Marathon?
Nope. we'll put an hour show out like 6 months later. Yeah, that's a good idea.
On Channel 31 analog. Yeah. It's not even available to the public Peach. Anymore.
All right, enough of this. Right, hang on. Okay, I reckon I agree with you, Joel. Actually, I would love to go up to Gold Coast at this time of year, and I also really want to do London. So I'm actually. You kind of saw my answers there. Ellie, just quickly, what would you choose?
So for the international race, I would choose Boston Marathon. I've really, really want to do that race. I always have. I think the atmosphere would be really cool. I like the sound of the course.
Isn't it downhill, Boston?
Yeah, it's net downhill, but it's kind of hilly, I think. Okay. Yeah, downhill. You know, I love a good downhill run.
Love downhill, that's true.
Why wouldn't everyone want to do a downhill course?
It's not an official time. If you get PB, it's not your official time.
Yeah, I think so. I think apparently it's really fast if you get a tailwind the whole way, because it's point to point. But if you don't have a tailwind, it's not that fast because of the hills in the second half. And then you can also get a pretty horrendous headwind, and it can be a really bad day. So, well, as we saw a few years ago where they had the I think they had like 20 or 30K an hour headwind the whole way, and rain and -2 degrees or something.
That when Yuki won it.
Yeah, Yuki and Dez.
Yeah, it looks like a great race. But I think if you're going to do one a year, I'd want to do one which, you know, it could count for towards your PB and on like and qualification for Olympics and stuff. Like,
yeah, the Americans count it as their PB, I've noticed.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think it would count as an Olympic qualifier, although I'm not sure about that. But they definitely, if they've run their PB at Boston, they'll claim it.
Even if it's a massive tailwind, that's so stupid. Yeah, that annoys me.
Yeah, I think they sort of maybe view it as the hills counteracting the net downhill.
If you've got a 50K an hour tailwind, you know, that's just going to – that just takes the piss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a silly one, Ellie. I disagree with that.
I think it would be more the – I don't think it's for time, though. I would more just want to do it for the experience of it.
Okay, I'm on board with that. Yeah, I'm on board with that, definitely.
Yeah, because it seems like the kind of race too where the women always, they go first, like some of the other ones, but they always seem to have a huge pack, and then it's really tactical, like moves are made, and a little bit like New York. So I like those kind of races.
They're more fun, aren't they? They're kind of a bit of a throwback to, like, you know, when marathons used to be races rather than kind of time trials with pacemakers, and you just get like 50 Kenyans at the front and just you know, all wearing the same tops, and it's kind of not good TV. But those races, like the ones Moose has been putting up on the running company Ballarat, like the one with Deeks when he was just hunting down the leader, and what was that 1982?
That was awesome, wasn't it? Just the massive come game Mo.
He's an absolute monster, that bloke. Just
just like ran down the leader. Oh, that was fantastic. And I'd never seen that before, so I was loving that footage.
Yeah, that was cool. I'd never seen that either.
Yeah.
And then like the Karen McCann 2006 Com Games one was pretty cool as well, that battle.
Oh, that's just phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there watching.
You were like two?
No, I was one and a half.
You're in your mum's tummy.
You guys' maths is just horrendous tonight. Anyway, so sorry, quickly, Ellie, what's your interstate one?
Interstate one. Well, I was actually going to say Gold Coast too, because Gold Coast half. I really like Sunshine Coast half too. That was. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's as fast because of that stupid hill. But it's a same thing. It's a fun weekend. Up in beautiful Sunshine Coast, middle of our winter. Really good fields, and last year because they put up really good prize money as well.
It was. And they also gave really us all those beers after the race, didn't they?
Yeah, the guys that run the Sunshine Coast Marathon are really nice guys. Yeah, and so that was a good fun one as well. So
we're just in that surf club, aren't we? Like afterwards with the party going on, and it's such a nice like vibe. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really relaxed and. It's kind of got that good mix of being a relaxed event, but also still really good competition. And
but that is where they led Jack the wrong way when he was chasing the record. So
yeah.
Bit the dampener on things last year, that one. But it's just overall fantastic event. Love it.
Yeah.
Any
I didn't argue that one? I thought Ellie, you were going to say, and then Nick was going to argue why you like it, like he did with the international one.
We don't have time, Joel. We've been going for an hour and 40 minutes. Okay, just quickly, Joel on the loose, what have you got?
All right, so being back running, back on the trails, I thought, you know, what's been pissing me off? Stuff pisses me off all the time. But this COVID-related thing that is absolutely doing my head in, it's happened four times now over the last few weeks, is when I'm running on a trail, whether it be by myself or like with Brett, it's happened to both of us a couple of times. You're out running on a trail and you see somebody up ahead, whether they're walking a dog or two of them have been old ladies. And as I'm running up towards them, I'm thinking, okay, keep my 1.5. So I go take a step to the far left. So I'm making sure the 1.5 is kept, and they put their fucking arms up, horizontal. As in, like, to that's my radius, like, let's keep out of it. But in doing so, their hand is practically touching me, which defeats the whole purpose of the social distancing thing. It's like, put your fucking arm down. I don't know if that's happened to you guys, but that's...
They were going for the hug there, Joel.
It's genuinely happened, like, it happened to Stewie, Brett and I on the trail last Wednesday as well. This guy, we're running, so we all single file, go over to the left, and he puts his arm up like, oh, don't come near me. I'm like, mate, you almost touched me.
This infuriates me as well, Joel. I'm with you. Like, why the hell would you go and walk on a single trail where it's impossible to be 1.5 meters away from someone if you're obsessed with the 1.5 meter thing? Like, just don't go there. Go somewhere where it's...
Exactly. Like, I've been running on a single trail, and I've bumped into, like, a, group of people, and it's like they're looking at you going, what the fuck, someone else is on the single trail? Like, they've booked it off the state government to have sole use. It's like, oh, get fuck. And having a woman, this old lady, and I was so careful to go behind. It was on a single trail about a week ago, and she put up her arm, and I was like, her arms were about 2 meters long, like a fucking albatross. And I was like, seriously, I was going to be nowhere near you and you would have been safe. And now your wings have clapped me. And
she put her finger in your mouth. Like, I mean.
Yeah. And then we've both contracted COVID.
Thanks, lady. Yeah, great.
And I was sort of thinking, like, would that lady have, after she's done it, then thought, oh, shit, I'm an idiot. I just touched him. Like, he wasn't even coming near me.
I don't reckon they think that, because they do it to every single person that runs past them, because they're...
So it's happened to you guys too? COVID
high. Yeah. It has. Yeah. On the roof of your
We got yelled at the other day, Blake and I. Same thing, old lady. and we were on a path, it's a pretty wide path, but there was a girl on a bike and a mum with a pram coming the other direction, and this lady was over to the left, and then there was a guy with a dog who was just off the path, so we couldn't go off the path to go around her. So we went between her and the girl on the bike. We were past her in, 0.2 of a second. Yeah. And same thing, then she yelled at us for not social distancing or giving her enough room, and Blake called her Karen.
Yeah, that's
okay,
exactly.
Karen.
Yeah, that's what it's – they're all Karens. It's just pulling their arms up.
Well, I just said to a load of boomers who were taking up the whole path when Matt and I were running along this rivulet track. It's about 2 meters wide at this point, and they were literally – talking face to face with about a meter in the middle, and so we just went straight for the middle, and I went, hold your breath, guys. And they just gave me the filthiest look. I was like, what? It was a bit of a joke, come on. But yeah, like they were just having a chat, and I was just like, I could actually yell at them saying, come on, what you're doing. But I mean, we haven't had any case of community transmission in Hobart. So, yeah, I think everyone's probably a bit more chilled out here, I think, generally. So it's not too bad. And I think people aren't really freaking out. They're just kind of – they're being fairly normal most – I think when it first all came out and they started lockdowning, people were being a bit more, kind of uptight about it. But I think now that in Tassie anyway, it's not too bad. So, yeah, people are –
Ellie, another plug there for the Tasmanian government. Money in Nick's back pocket.
Move down. Come into my... Anyway.
They're giving him $1,000 every time he mentions how good Tassie
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
I haven't even mentioned my massage gun yet. Right, let's wrap this up. Come on, what's coming up, guys? Just quick mention what you got coming up. Joel, go.
Oh, geez, what do I have coming up? A big 95K week next week. More work. Nothing, bit more of a play in the music studio that I've set up at my house. I think Brett and I are going to sort of try and make some music.
More electricity music for Brad.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Ellie?
Me, just running, working, not too much, catching up with a few friends. But, yeah, I think apparently – as of June 1st, we're allowed to start going away for weekends again.
Yes.
In Victoria, that is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. I feel like I'm ready for a change of scenery.
Fed up with the beautiful surf coast. Yeah.
Just get out down here.
Anyway, all right. So thanks for asking, but I've got another 5K time trial
coming
up. Yeah, I know. I've got a 5K time trial coming up on Saturday, and just working out how much I'm going to cheat on the tight loops.
Not going to go up.
I'm probably going to do the same route I did last time because it's top five through to the next round, and I did I came second on the last round. So if I do that same kind of cheat level, I should get through pretty easily and save the real cheating for the final. So that'd be pretty good.
Sounds like every store gift.
Oh, you just offended some pro runners.
Yeah, you definitely did there, didn't you? So let's wrap this up. Right, listeners, if you liked what you heard, you can hear us chat absolute nonsense every Wednesday over on Patreon. And if you missed listening to the electricity music man from Canberra, the Echuca sledgehammer, and the fat bloke from Ballarat, they'll be recording on Road to Nowhere on Wednesday, and they'll also be putting that out on the main website on iTunes on Saturday. Like I said, if you like what you heard from us tonight, you can sign up to Patreon and listen to us every Wednesday. So thanks a lot for listening. See you, Joel. See you, Ellie.
Thanks, see you guys. See you later.
See you next week.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.
All opinions and sponsored content do not in any way represent the opinions of the Inside Running Podcast. Some sponsored content and opening reads may not be true information and require a sense of humour when listening.
Start us off.
Hang on, 2 seconds. I actually can't work out how to hit record on this.
So down in the bottom right.
Oh, bottom right.
Three dots.
Yep.
And then it'll say start recording. So mine's already recording.
Yeah, it says at the top Ellie is recording.
Oh, does it? All right.
Cool. Yeah, but I clicked recording too, but it's not coming up that I am. Ah, well, whatever.
Is this it? I don't have that as an option. Maybe because you're recording it, Ellie. Maybe more than one can't record it. Because it says take snapshot, turn subtitles on.
Ah.
And there's no, yeah, like...
maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe just you can record it. So, well, it's in your hands, Ellie.
Okay.
We'll have to do this over again.
My laptop's at 100%, so...
Yeah, mine's plugged in. I think we're good.
Right, okay, hang on. So, right, are you guys ready? I'll, hang on, I'm just going...
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
Fuck.
Normally, like, 100 people listen to it. This one's going to have, like, 40,000.
40,000? Who the fuck... You reckon? Are you serious?
They have a shitload of listeners.
40,000. Yeah, that is mental.
All right. Right, I'm a bit nervous after you said that. Thanks, Ellie. That's great.
Oh, 2 seconds. I'm just going to get Strava open so I'm not pissing around. Sorry, Joel. Joel won't understand this bit.
Yeah, I just ignored that.
Right. Yeah. That's my Strava, Ellie Ashley. There you are. Okay. I've got yours just about. So, Ellie, I'm going to go to you first, all right? On the weeks. Yeah.
Yep. I've got mine open ready.
I'll introduce Joel first and then introduce you second. And because you'll still be talking.
Okay. Right.
You are the new Brady.
Yeah, mate. All right. If I fuck this up, I'll just start again. That's fine. All right. Okay. A bit of silence and then I'll go. Hey guys, welcome to fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Right,
I
okay.
You should do your Brady voice.
I will do that in a sec. Hang on, right, start again.
Yeah, the Brady voice is funny.
If I fuck it up, I'll just carry on, all right?
Yeah. Okay.